Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 204. For those of you wondering why I'm not singing right now, it's because I came on a half hour ago after the Yankee game. We're already a half hour in. Where you been? Let's go. 888-808-1019. Coming off a great night. Just, you know, rocking chant victories for both teams. Everyone around them losing. They had the Yankees started the game knowing Baltimore got absolutely pounded by the Giants. I mean, they're down four runs going into the ninth, and Kimbrel gives up five. I mean, Kimbrel couldn't get an out in the ninth. They get blown out by the Giants. The Yankees are now four games up in that division, and it sure feels like with now the magic number to clinch a playoff spot at one, that hopefully they celebrate tomorrow night, or excuse me, later tonight in Seattle and celebrate their playoff clinching victory. And it feels like, I know they have a big series against Baltimore, and I know anything could happen, and they haven't been able to really put together a real great stretch of baseball since the first half. But it just feels like right now, with the way they're playing, the way this lineup has finally woken up a little bit, the way Soto and Judge have been hitting. And by the way, if you missed it last night, Soto, 40th home run of the season, 200th home run of his career. He's 25 years old. He's 25. 40th home run of the season, 200th home run of his career. And he checked off the last box needed to complete the tour of Major League Baseball. As now he's hit a home run in every ballpark in all of Major League Baseball. But it just feels like this division is the Yankees. I mean, it just, especially with the way the Orioles are playing, the way the Yankees have figured out their bullpen, the way even the rotation is pitched, like the Yankees are playing, in my mind, the best baseball they've played since early in the season. I don't think there's any doubt. Right now, the rotation, for the most part, I know we had the debacle that was Saturday with Gerrit Cole, but it's still the ace, and as much as I maybe don't trust them ever again against the Boston Red Sox, they're not going to have to play the Red Sox because they suck. And they will not be in the playoffs. But right now, the rotation's as good as it's been, especially now with Luis Gil back from injury. And, you know, it was a little wobbly to start this game last night where he had the bases loaded, two outs with a hit by pitch and two walks, and had a 3-0 count against Turner. And for some reason, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a dumber play in my life. Like, honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen a less smart baseball play in my entire life than Victor Robles, who got hit by a pitch to start off this game, is on third base with two outs, bases loaded, Turner up, a veteran 39-year-old RBI man who's had a very solid career after leaving the Mets. And Justin Turner has a 3-0 count. And Luis Gil has hit a batter and walked two. He's got a 3-0 count. He's one pitch away from giving you a run. And because he didn't pay attention to Victor Robles at third base and because he had the rosin bag in his hand, Victor Robles makes a beeline for home, trying to steal home with a 3-0 count and the bases loaded to a middle-of-the-lineup hitter. And he gets thrown out at the plate. And from that moment on, Luis Gil settled in. He gave you five innings of one-run baseball. He got his 14th win of the year, so I feel like the rotation established. The bullpen for damn sure over the last 2 weeks has been lights out and feels like it's in as good a place as it's been all year. And now Juan Soto waking up, Judge waking up since the Grand Slam on Friday night, Gleyber Torres, who again, we're going to have a much bigger conversation about, just being absolutely dynamic from the leadoff spot. Austin Wells establishing the cleanup hitter with a big bases-clearing double in this game. Jason Dominguez in the lineup hitting his first home run of the season and hopefully getting his act together because he started off slow since coming up. I mean, there are just more answers for this team than they've had almost all year since late May, early June. So they're playing their best baseball. The Orioles are playing their worst. And right now it just feels like this division is the Yankees. They will win this division. And it's almost like you're more concerned about being the actual number one seed to secure home playoff, to secure home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And you're more scoreboard watching Cleveland to make sure you finish with a better record than they do to guarantee themselves home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And when it comes to the Mets, I'm hesitant to do this. I'm hesitant, I have to admit. I'm hesitant to say the same. As much as I watch the Atlanta Braves and they've been dealing with injuries and I've talked about how much I believed in them and their track record and their culture and what they've done over the last handful of years, they're dealing with immense injuries and they're just not playing good, clean, crisp baseball. They can't beat bad teams. They have a, what was it, 4-0 in this game at one point and then 4-2 and then 5-2 or whatever. I forget exactly, but they had a 4-run lead at one point in this game against Cincinnati. They give up a 2-run home run to Steers in the 7th and blow this game to Cincinnati. And I'm hesitant to just call it. All right, it's only 2 games. They're now tied with Arizona, but I'm hesitant only because I've been wrong about the Mets. I declared the Mets dead. When was it again, Fliegelman? Fliegelman remembers the exact same date. As he goes,
June 3rd.
June 3rd.
And since May 30th, they have the best record in baseball.
And since May 30th, they have the best record in baseball. And on June 3rd, I said they're dead. And as
they
this,
are dead.
They are dead. I'm willing to call it now. This Met team is dead. Always has it ready. That's what I said on June 3rd, right? And then after the Arizona loss, where Diaz gives up the home run and blows the game, and they were four games behind the Atlanta Braves after that game. Four games behind them for the wild card. And I didn't call them dead, but I said the next game felt irrelevant. It felt like that was their opportunity, and they blew it. And now they're 4 games behind a team that has historically dominated them late in the season, historically dominated them in almost every season, has been their biggest nemesis. And always, including 2 years ago when the Mets had their best regular season in my lifetime, arguably, they won 101 games, were leading the division all year. Damn near lost, didn't lose a series until July. And somehow the Braves still found a way to eclipse them that year. And it just felt like, man, they are in major trouble right now. And since that moment, they have picked up 6 games in the standings. I said that the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres were gone. And you shouldn't even bother wasting your time. And now they're tied with Arizona. So I'm hesitant to jinx them and say that I believe that they are going to be the third wild card, to say that I believe that this Atlanta team is broken, to say that I believe the New York Mets are going to figure out a way to get to the promised land and have a 3-game wild card series. I'm hesitant to just say it's going to happen because I've been wrong about the Mets and I don't want to jinx them with my stupidity. But boy, does it feel like that. And you want to talk about playing the best. Fliegelman just told you, since May 30th, best record in all of baseball. Since early June, best starting rotation ERA in baseball. And again, McGill. I know it's against the Nationals. But what was it, six innings, 1 run? I mean, and that's not even the story The story is this offense and Pete Alonso and Acuna, who hopefully won't even be playing for you because Lindor comes back. Alvarez, who hopefully found himself with that three-run home run to cap off a six-run ninth against the Toronto Blue Jays a week ago. Hopefully he's found himself here, having some much better swings since then. Hit a couple home runs since then. If this team right now is playing, going to continue to play the way they play, the bullpen's find itself a little bit. The offense still shaky, although they scored 10 last night. But you feel much better about it after, you know, Pete Alonso awakens. And if he could ever get hot to go along with this starting rotation, I mean, the Braves aren't as good. The New York Mets are better than the Braves. The New York Mets have a two-game lead over a team they're better than with 11 to play. And it just feels like right now we are destined to have both of these teams in the postseason. And it feels good. It feels good. It feels right. And it was just, it's one of those nights where everything broke their way. Everything. And it's, I mean, especially for the Yankees. I mean, this game, Seattle just handed it to them in the first inning. Just handed it to them. And then, of course, the offense continues to pound on. And there's going to be a story coming from this game. And I'll play it now for you. And I picked it up as soon as I heard it. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a story, and it's not what fans want to hear. And we're going to overreact to it, and it probably means absolutely nothing. But we're going to break first, and then I'm going to play this sound. It's from Juan Soto. And if you're unaware, Juan Soto is a New York Yankee. But there's so much talk about whether or not he will be a New York Yankee. And every time I do send out that tweet, that has become so much, you know, it's almost a burden. Now I have to do it every time Juan Soto does something. But the response I always get from that tweet is, well, for now, enjoy it for now. For the next month, maybe. It's going to be a Met in April. Well, for the first time. I wouldn't even say that. This clip.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Speaks to that question.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 222, McMonagle here with you. So we've talked a lot about the both victories for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. As the Mets take down the Nationals 10-1, the New York Yankees take care of business out in Seattle. At West Coast, I love West Coast baseball. I love the late night. Even before I had this shift, I loved it. Something about, especially at home with all the craziness that goes on with me. And I was lucky enough to, I don't want to say lucky enough, but you know, I came here early because I was on right after the game, and I hate commuting. It's not that I dislike the radio broadcast. Justin Shackle and Susan Waldman do a great job, and the radio broadcast is top notch. But I got to talk about these games. I like to watch them, so I wanted to make sure I was here to watch the game. So I got here probably the fourth or fifth inning of the Met game, maybe even earlier than that, maybe the second or third inning. I forget, but. Just to be able to sit out in the newsroom, one, to actually see a handful of people, and not just the same, nothing wrong with Fliegelman's face, he's a good enough looking dude, but it's just enough. It's the only guy I see, it's him and Marco, that's it. So to actually get here early enough to see Ackerman, it was nice to just be around people for a minute, and plus, it was nice and quiet.
Did Ack sing to you?
Ack sang the McMonagle song, we went through the whole rigmarole, it was very nice. That's what even West Coast baseball, but even, if I wasn't working the shift back when I was doing afternoons with, Mike or Craig and Evan or CMB or whoever I was doing afternoons with, I still preferred, late night because it's just quiet. It's quiet now. Everyone else is sleeping. It's quiet. I don't have to deal with anything. I love it. But if you're watching the game, Juan Soto went off, and he's been slumping a little bit, but he comes through with a double in the first inning that sets up the Judge RBI double himself and knocking in two. So he gets that, and then he walks in the second. He hits a two-run bomb opposite field. I mean, that is if you watch that, that's an inside-out swing. That's a low inside fastball that he puts a Jeter-esque inside-out swing where Jeter used to hit it. In between the first and second base hole, he hits it over the left center field wall. I mean, the guy is just remarkable, but he hits a home run. It's his 40th of the year, his 200th of his career. He's only 25, which is crazy. And it knocks off Seattle and T-Mobile Park, as it is now referred to, as the final ballpark in Major League Baseball that he had finally hit a home run with, or in. And so much goes into Juan Soto, and we're coming to the end of this season, the 1 year that we knew as Yankee fans we were going to get to watch Juan Soto play, and boy, has it been everything we could have hoped for. He's going to be a top four MVP candidate. He's got his home run career total. He's got his high in home runs. He's got 1,000 OPS. He's come through in clutch moments. He's done everything other than maybe his defense has kind of lacked luster here, including misplaying a ball last night. In the second half, his defense has waned a little bit. But, I mean, it has been perfect watching him, watching the Soto shuffle, watching the at-bats, and so much goes into whether or not Juan Soto is going to be here. It comes up every so often, and it's going to come up now moving into today because of comments made in the postgame. Because, as Jack Curry said in the postgame, we've seen other milestones. He just hit his 200th home run, didn't seem that interested in it. Okay, cool. 40th home run, highest of his career. First time hitting 40 home runs in major leagues. He was really excited about not hitting a home run in every single ballpark in Major League Baseball. And when asked in the postgame about it, he gave an answer that is going to spark debate about his thought process on this free agency period. So here's the quote from Juan Soto when asked about why it was so interesting to him and so important to him to hit a home run in every single Major League Baseball stadium.
Juan, you talked in spring training about wanting the homer in every ballpark. Why was that important to you?
I feel that's, it's a great feeling for me. I think, it's so many different ballparks, so many different dimensions. I just want to get all of them checked in, what a best way to go to the free agency with all 30 homers, all 30 ballparks checking my list.
What better way to go into free agency than having all 30 ballparks checked off my list? Now, that probably means nothing, because the question did preface it by saying, in spring training, you mentioned it. I think he had four ballparks to get. going into the season. Four Major League Baseball stadiums that he needed to knock off that list to accomplish what he set out to accomplish. And in the offseason, or heading into it, you know, he'd never played a game for the New York Yankees. And so to have free agency on your mind with that, okay. And then he gets asked now, and he's asked to hearken back to why it was important to him then, and maybe that's why he brings up free agency. But I have to admit, the idea that after this game, when the Yankees are on a pennant race push, the Yankees just took a four-game lead in this division, hoping to secure that bad boy and head into the postseason with a bye, getting ready for the ALDS. He's not concerned with 40 home runs. He's not concerned with 200 home runs. He's concerned with one aspect of what happened in last night's game, besides the win. I don't want to make it seem like he doesn't care about the win. Of course he does. But as far as milestones go, as far as personal achievements go, the one personal achievement that he was most excited about and most interested in accomplishing was the one that he, for whatever reason, ties to free agency. And that just speaks to what everyone wants to tell you, that he's focused on his free agency, that he wants every single dollar, and that this has been on his mind for a long time. And, you know, this is, you know, he's going to go to the highest bidder and everything. And I don't think it's fair to take any of that out of this comment. But it jumped out at me when I heard it. I have to admit. Because we get on Pete Alonso for making comments. Now, we get on Pete Alonso because he was struggling. And it was almost excuse-making and defensive talk, trying to defend his value, his worth into free agency. Juan Soto is lucky enough to not have to worry about that. Juan Soto doesn't have to worry about it, nor does he need to hit a home run in every ballpark to get a big contract. But I have to admit, something about the idea that the answer to that question was, what better way to head into free agency? What better way to head into free agency than to have every ballpark off my list? I don't know why, but it's just one of those comments where I'm like, okay, it's just a reminder, I suppose. It's a reminder that Juan Soto may be a Yankee right now. They are going to have to pony up and give him an enormous contract. And I still believe that there's a number that the Yankees can give, even if someone else gives higher, that Juan Soto will be a Yankee. But the idea that on this night in Seattle, that home run made him think of what a better way to head into free agency scares me. I have to admit. But go out there and win a championship, and you'll never leave, baby. 888-808-1019. And, of course, Pete Alonso, the other main talking point, and his night was more important than Juan Soto's knocking off every ballpark, more important than Juan Soto's 40th home run, or I don't know about 200th. Those are personal milestones. But as far as we're concerned, Pete Alonso stepping up in that meeting, talking about how he wants to celebrate, talking about the opportunity the Mets have and how infrequent it's been in his career, and how they didn't get a chance to really celebrate 2 years ago when they blew the division on the last day of the series, one of the last days of the year. For him to step up in that meeting and then to step out there on that field last night and for the first time all year give you a memorable, I'm not saying none of his hits were clutch. I'm not saying he's never had a moment. I mean, other than what the home run on the sixth game of the year. But for him to have that night, have that meeting, and then step up and give you that bloop single that drives in two, then hit a bomb to left field, have a five RBI night, a three-hit night, and to make a statement with Lindor out. That was a huge night for Pete Alonso, a huge night. And it's got to turn him in the right direction. It's got to let him get hot here. It's got to be the catalyst. It can't be, oh, yeah, remember that one night against Washington? It's got to be the beginning of a run for Pete Alonso. But that's a good start. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phones a little bit. We'll talk anything. Obviously, the Jets play tomorrow night now. It comes that quick. And we'll do a lot more on that tomorrow. previewing the game against New England. Do you know, I heard a stat, this is the first time that the New York Jets have been favored by 6 points or more against the New England Patriots since 1999. It has been 25 years since the Jets, who, and they play them twice a year. So that's 50 games. It's been 25 years since the Jets have been this big a favorite against New England.
And was that the game where Vinny got hurt, or did it happen in their second game that season?
I think it was the second game that season. I think I heard, because it was that was the first game of the year, right? I think I heard October of 99. I thought that was the stat. I didn't bother to check it, but I thought that was the stat I heard was October of 99. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it was September of 99. It was that first game of the year. Makes sense. Testaverde coming off the AFC Championship game. That's the last time the Patriots were this big an underdog against the New York Jets. So we'll get to that game, talk a little football, and that's what Tony wants to do right now. Tony in Middletown. What's up, Tony?
Hey, C-Mac. Good to hear you. I used to hear you in, like the midday. No, not midday, but, in the afternoon, man. Hopefully
yes.
We get you back. You and Lou would be nice. Awesome midday, I tell you that. But
well,
that's another
you.
Story for another day.
Gotcha.
And you got some great pipes. All right, let me get to real quick. Soto, I believe, will end up in San Francisco. They're gonna give him a dump truck worth of money.
I don't know, but okay, it's possible. Someone's gonna. I mean, if it's just about the money, it's hard to imagine it's not the. If it's about where he's comfortable and wants to play, it's hard to imagine it's not the Yankees. And if it's just about every last dollar, it's hard to imagine it's not the Mets. So for me, those are the two teams that are vying for this. But you never know. Crazier things have happened. Right. I could see the Giants getting in the mix. They do need a superstar, no doubt.
Yep. So, on the Barkley thing, I was reading something on Facebook that you were upset about fans being glad about Barkley's drop. And, I mean, I'm ecstatic about it. I don't want him injured, but I want nothing but the worst for the player. And, his drop kept us one game back. So,
Again, and because you got to listen to the comments and read the whole thing. I'm not blaming. I was happy when he dropped the pass. I was thrilled when he dropped the pass. I want the Eagles to lose every single game. And I wish, just like you, I wish Saquon Barkley the best personally. I think he's a very good guy who did. I do believe he wanted to be a Giant and would have liked to stay here if they met his needs. And I'll never begrudge a single NFL player wanting to get every single dollar. We see what Tua is going through now. We see how the toll it takes on your body. I mean, these guys are out there, doing all this. And I have no problem with wanting the most money. But having said that, he's an Eagle now. So I'm glad he dropped the pass. I hope he has a miserable season.
Absolutely, all
of that. My point was, last night, so many Giant fans, including my guy Sean Marash, who did it again, who went even more heavy into it today on the show in the afternoon. My guy Nick Costos, who I think is one of the better gambling listens, and his show Better You Bet is phenomenal. I think he does a tremendous job. He was laughing, not so much that the Eagles lost. That's okay. We had Giant fans laughing and saying, like, pretty much, ha, 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 Philadelphia, now he's your problem. Ha, 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 Philadelphia, all the drop passes that have hurt the Giants over the last few years, now they're your issue. Sean Marash said that, I saw Chris Carr.
He is that, though. He's good for that, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, the idea that, in one game, so is neighbors.
He just
dropped a pass that cost them the game. And we're saying, Philadelphia, you good luck with him. I mean, come on. This franchise has been a debacle. The reason that Saquon Barkley is an Eagle has nothing, zero, to do with drop passes. Zero.
Exactly. You're right.
He's too good for the New York Giants. It doesn't make sense. I agree. I'm glad he's gone. I don't care he's in Philadelphia. And I wish him nothing but failure on a professional level because he's an Eagle. But all I'm saying is he's not a Giant because this roster isn't good enough to justify paying a running back. He's the best offensive player they've had since Odell Beckham Jr. He's the best running back they've had since Tiki Barber. He's been as explosive a back as they've had in forever, and as important and as much part of the offense that has been ever for the New York Giants.
Well, Shane's reasoning was absolutely ignorant. I don't understand. Oh, we got a $40 million quarterback. We can't pay a $12 million runner. Yeah. That's kind of... That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I think it does make sense. I mean, on some level, I think, you know, you pay the quarterback, you don't pay the running back. That's the NFL. Is that a dumb sort of way to put it? Maybe. But the fact of the matter is you don't place money. If you're going to pay a big-time quarterback, then you go get Pacheco. You're going to pay a big-time quarterback, then you just go get... You can find Raheem Mostert. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have the quarterback, you don't need to pay the running back. I believe that. And as much as I'm down on Joe Shane, I've seen different things, you know, Lombardi and different guys who are former GMs in the media talking about how embarrassed they are by Joe Shane and stuff. I thought Joe Shane, I wasn't embarrassed as a Giant fan watching Joe Shane in that Hard Knocks. And I agree with his assessment on not paying Saquon Barkley. I had a problem, and it was, you know, it was right off the game. I was on like right after the game. If I opened up, if the show was the next day, I might not have had that open or that hot a take on it. But it bothered me because the Giants just embarrassed themselves. They had a coach and an organization who didn't realize they needed a backup kicker when they went into the game with a kicker with a groin injury. They just got embarrassed the first time in NFL history. A team won the touchdown battle 3-0 and lost the game. Our new offensive stud in Malik Nabers, who's going to replace Saquon Barkley as the major heart of the offense and the touchdown scorer, did the exact same thing in his first opportunity to make a game-changing catch. An easy game. He just did the same thing. And there we are getting our kicks and trying to justify an 0-2 season and try and get some sort of joy out of the fact that Saquon Barkley dropped a pass and indicate that, hey, now he's your problem, Philadelphia? Was it Philadelphia's problem when he scored 3 touchdowns in week 1, or did we ignore it? Because I chose to just ignore it. And if we're going to ignore the 3 touchdown games, we can't celebrate the drop pass. I'm sorry, we just can't. I'm not saying I'm not thrilled Philadelphia lost. I'm thrilled Philadelphia lost. I love that Kirk Cousins went right down the field on them. I love Sirianni looked like a moron and looked like the biggest pompous ass when he was declining the penalty like he's the smartest. He's the smartest head coach since Belichick. It was ridiculous. And I was so happy to see them lose. I was thrilled he dropped the pass. But let's not try and make it about, ha, 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 we were right to let him go. Ha, 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 now is him and his drop passes are your problem. I saw someone tweet out that was the best play, the Saquon Barkley drop was the best play that the Giants have had all year. And I believe Sean Marash's response was, and the 6 drop passes that cost them the playoffs last year or something along those veins was the worst place. Like, yeah, Saquon Barkley was what was holding the Giants back. It was the drop passes of Saquon Barkley that prevented the Giants from being a powerhouse in the NFC East. Like, what are we talking about? That's all. It's not so much you can't celebrate the Eagles' demise. Celebrate all you want. It's not that you can't celebrate that drop pass. Celebrate it. But don't try and make it so... Don't try and justify the Giants' decisions. Or don't try and justify the Giants' season. And don't try and justify where the Giants are. Because the Eagles are far and away in so much of a better place, it's not worth discussing. They're probably going to bounce back and beat the hell out of the undefeated Saints next week. And the Giants are a touchdown underdog to the Browns. So please, please, it bothers me when we were taking victory laps. I wanted Saquon Barkley gone. I can't take victory laps because he dropped one pass that cost them a game. Thank God that's not our team dropping. Thank God Saquon Barkley isn't here dropping passes. Because that's what I remember of Saquon Barkley's career as a New York Giant. All the passes he dropped. Do I remember them? Sure. Did it hurt at the time? A couple of times, yeah. The good so far outweighed the bad with Saquon Barkley to the point where he outpriced himself with the Giants roster. It didn't make sense to keep him. They did the right thing. But I'm not taking bows and victory laps that, ha, 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 Philadelphia, you deal with it now. You deal with it. He scored 3 touchdowns in week 1. They're going to deal with the leading rusher in the NFL, most likely. Mind-numbing.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah!
249. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. A little heavy on the breaks today, more than usual because of the Yankee game going late. So let's just try and get to as many calls as we can here before the top of the hour. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dan? How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I got 3 things I want to talk about with my Yankees,
yes.
All right? The first one, that stuff that you were talking about with Soto. You know, I'm one of those that, like, you know, just how they say you can put whatever stats you want to make your argument, I like to choose whatever sound bites I want to make my argument.
Sure.
And so I'm going to put the onus on Marco's sound bite with what he played as far as the comments that you got from Soto after
yes.
the game
mm-hmm.
over yours.
Yep.
And I'm going to hope that, like, to your point, that comfort, because I'm one of those that believes that comfort, comfortability means a lot in the argument when we talk about it later on. And the legacies mean a lot in it when it comes
yeah.
about it later on. And I think, like you said, there's going to be a number. Just I'm hoping that there's a number, just like there was with Judge, where it's that number that once we hit it, and, you know, like the things that happened with what he checked off of this list and what he was talking about in the free agencies, it's just things to make sure that his value – he gets his value. Like, you know, the things that Judge did to get the chip off his shoulder. Like,
yeah.
you know, yeah, like, you have no question but to give this, but I'm going to be able to get my comfortability, too. The next point I wanted to make, though, it was nice to see Dominguez get his tonight, because that was something that we could see just come off his shoulders. And if that means anything, where it's just one more step to making him feel a little bit more relieved now that he's here and he can start to, like, really just kind of flow in and really take off, that'll be a beautiful thing. And if I can make one last point about my Yanks.
Yeah.
To the haters, as far as Aaron Boone is concerned, I hope people see what's going on, because I myself, as much as I've called at some point in time and had a problem with him, you know, I find what he's doing right now to be very interesting, because he's finding a way to keep guys active and to keep his options open with people so that people are still fresh and still hot and still in the rhythm of the game. The way that he brought Stroman in, you know, the way that he played the outfield with Dominguez and had Judge as DH, Verdugo was still out there, so Verdugo was still in the flow of things.
Yeah.
At some point, he made a defensive change, and he brought Grisham in later. It's like he's finding a way to keep guys out, even with what he's doing with the bullpen guys and all the other things. He's finding a way to, you know, as much as they're trying to find exactly what route they want to use, and when things condense in the postseason, he's still keeping his options open and giving the guys that are on the periphery, you know, they're coming in fresh, so they still feel in the rhythm of things, and they still have a chance to kind of, like, continue to go along with what's going on. So I hope
yeah.
people give Boone his credit for doing that as well, too.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Val. Sorry, you started to get a little hot there on the line. They won't. They won't. No one will give Boone credit. They won't. He has to win a championship, plain and simple. I've already come to this conclusion. We know this. There's nothing Boone can do that will get any credit from the Yankee fans until he wins. It's all any positive stuff. Like, to your point about Boone, he took the closer role away from Clay Holmes, right? Now, you could argue he should have done it earlier, whatever. For those of you Yankee fans who say he has no feel for the game, he has no idea when to bring in a reliever, he's terrible taking out the pitcher, blah, 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 blah. Since that moment when he took out Clay Holmes and put the onus on him to do this mix and match, right? That's how they're going to do it. They're going to get creative. Since that moment, the bullpen's been dominant. Dominant. Now, I'm not saying Boone's out there pitching, but we give him hell when relievers fail. Give him hell. Since he took over the reins of the bullpen and said, we're going to get creative on how we do the back end of the games, They've been a dominant bullpen. And right now, what he's doing in the lineup is, and I don't know, you know, we're going to find out how it goes, but I honestly believe he does not want to, he wants to play Dominguez and Verdugo as much as possible. And that's why I think you're going to see, and to keep Judge fresh. Those are the three things, those are the two things right now with this lineup. We saw Judge at the end of two years ago into the playoffs after having that remarkable season and chasing the 62 home runs and everything, carrying the team for so long. He felt exhausted at the end. So they're going to want to keep Judge fresh by giving him DH days. Stanton's already used to sporadic play at this point. And I honestly think he's having a competition right now between Dominguez and Verdugo. Now, we certainly know who we want to win. And I think the Yankees want the same player to win. I think everybody's pulling for Dominguez to win that battle. I honestly believe that. I know Cashman can never be wrong. He's the smartest guy in the room. He's, you know, he'll never let go of Verdugo. I get it. I honestly believe the Yankees want Dominguez to win the battle and be the left fielder. But I think they want to see what happens. And you have to admit, prior to this home run, Verdugo has outplayed him in the brief stretch that Dominguez has been here. Verdugo got hit in this game, double down the line. He's hitting about .310 or so over the last 2.5, 3 weeks. It's a meaningless .310 for the most part, besides the one home run that gave him a lead the other day, or, you know, last week or whatever. But it's an empty .310, which is funny because so many Yankee fans are these old school Yankee fans who argue about batting average. And then you see Verdugo hit .310 for 3 weeks, and you go, yeah, but he hasn't done anything to help the team, even hitting .300. There is a empty batting average. But we have to be fair. If we're going to scream and cry that we want the best roster, and we're going to scream and cry that you need Dominguez in there because Verdugo stinks and Dominguez is better, which I was right there with you screaming and crying about it. If down the stretch of the year, Verdugo outplays Dominguez, then Yankee fans would be a hypocrite to not say Verdugo should play. It's about playing the best players. And if over the next 2 weeks, now I don't expect it. Hopefully this Dominguez home run yesterday gets him going and starts driving the baseball. He's been hitting a ton of ground balls just like Verdugo. But hopefully he can get going and win this thing easy and be the left fielder. That's what everybody wants. And if it's a tie, if both of them perform relatively the same, I want Dominguez. But if Verdugo continues to hit and gets hot and hits .320 down the stretch here, and that's the only home run we see from the Martian and he doesn't do anything, we would all be hypocrites if we don't say, hey, Verdugo should be the one who's playing. Then it's just about you want who you want, because we've been screaming about we want the better player. And if they both get as much playing time as they've been getting and Verdugo outplays them, then Verdugo's got to be the guy, no? Now, hopefully that's not the case, because Dominguez did hit his first home run, the switch hitter. I'd much rather have Dominguez out there, so hopefully he'll be the guy, and I think he will be. And he also did something in this lineup. Now he's given 2 days to Volpe. I don't know if they would, that's an interesting conversation. I don't know if they would pull Volpe come playoff time at shortstop. It's only 2 games with Cabrera, but Volpe's been terrible offensively. That's why he's gotten another day here to just kind of cool off, relax, get a couple days off in a row, because he's been brutal. And if they struggle offensively, I could see Cabrera. If they get through an ALDS and with struggling offensively and he stinks, get to the ALCS, maybe Cabrera could play some shortstop. I don't know. I was surprised that Volpe, this is a guy they played every single day. Him and John Boy are getting into arguments during their interviews. I mean, he's defending Volpe, playing Volpe. Nobody else, everyone else sits, not Volpe, plays every single day. Now, all of a sudden, back-to-back days, he needs a back-to-back off day, and Cabrera just played last week. Weird.